so I would ask you to please continue to pray, continue to seek the things of God, what God would have for you, and be mindful of what the Lord has in store for you personally. I wouldn't worry about the person next to me until I've worried about myself. I think a lot of people look at everybody else and hope that they get help. But can I say, even tonight, I've asked the Lord to please help me.
Yes, help us.
And give me the strength that I need.
Sure.
Let's go back to Matthew chapter 5. The verse we've read a couple times this week, we'll read it one more time. We'll see an illustration of this with the Lord's help in a moment, but in verse 45 of Matthew 5, we'll just read the last half of the verse. I don't believe context is needed. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. I want to look tonight with the Lord's help at the provision of God. The provision of God. Brother Coots, would you mind praying for the preacher, please?
Yes. Father, we thank you so much for this time together tonight. We thank you for how you provide for us. Lord, we pray now that you bless this time together. Lord, as the message goes out, we pray that you be with Brother McVeigh, that you would give him clarity, to give him boldness. And Lord, I pray that you work in our hearts in a very specific way, Lord. I pray that you change our lives through this time, and help us to be sensitive, to hear the word, Lord, that there would be a liberty in this time. And the Lord, that you'd save souls, Lord, as a result of what takes place here tonight.
Yes,
we pray in Jesus' name.
Amen. If you want us to go back to 1 Kings, we'll look at a couple passages in 1 Kings. As we see the provision of God, and also in the context, we'll also be around the area. I probably won't touch on it, but the Lord reigning on the just and on the unjust alike. We'll see how that God dried up the rain at the prayer of Elijah that would not rain upon the face of the earth. But then when God did send the rain, he warned Ahab to get down. The sound of abundance of rain. The rain on the just and it rains on the unjust. That is the provision of God. But tonight I want to look at this, and I want you to look at the provision of the man of God. God providing for his own. God providing for his people. There are things that the Lord does because we're his children.
Yes,
it doesn't make us better than anybody else. It doesn't put us in a higher plane than somebody else. It's the blessings of God reserved for his children. And we see this illustrated in the life of Elijah. And we see in verse 1, Elijah the Tishbite, we're in 1 Kings 17, who is of the inhabitants of Gilead. He said unto Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. And so he went, and he did according unto the word of the Lord, for he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening. And he drank of the brook. And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. We see God's provision through the ravens, through the fowl of the air. God provided Elijah with meat and provided him with bread. God provided him with water. God provided him with moving water. God provided him with a brook. When the brook dried up, the Lord came to him again and spake to him again in verse 8. The word of the Lord came unto him, saying, arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. I want you to look back at verse 4. He said, I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. Then he says, I have commanded a widow woman to sustain thee. God singles out one person, one woman in the life of Elijah. And God singles her out, for the Lord has commanded her to sustain Elijah. God commands the fowl of the air, but God also commands his people. And God uses that widow woman to sustain the man of God. God has commanded her to sustain him. Are you listening? God has commanded her to take care of his needs. And I want you to see the provision of God in that, because it wasn't just that God unwittingly or unknowingly or foolishly commanded her, but God commanded her and then God gave her the provision wherewith to sustain the man of God. It was by faith that she moved. It was by faith at the command of God that she moved to take care of the needs of Elijah. And it was by faith that God then sustained her through faith. And we see that, for he goes to the widow woman. In verse 10, he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks. And he called to her and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. Now God has commanded her to sustain him. God has commanded her. It is her appointment. It was her responsibility. It is God's responsibility to provide for her to sustain him. And God tells her this, or she says this rather to Elijah. As she was going to fetch it, he called her and said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. And she said, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but an handful of meal in a barrel and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. And Elijah said unto her, fear not, go out and do as thou hast said. But make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. God has commanded her first to sustain his prophet. Then God says, take care of yourself and your son. Now, I realize that's foreign today. I realize objective, pragmatic, reasonable thinking, that just doesn't fit into my budget. But it was at the word of God that he spake. It was at the command of God that he spake. And Elijah speaks to her. He says, you prepare me a little cake first, and then for thee and thy son. Because here's a promise that God has given you. God has given it to me to tell you that barrel of oil, the barrel skill of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. So Elijah, who has seen the ravens bring him meat, has seen the ravens bring him bread, has seen the brook dry up once, goes and tells this woman, you make me a cake. And then you make for you and your son. The barrel is not going to run empty. The cruse is never going to go dry until that rain returns upon the earth. And I want you to notice what she did. She went. She went. She obeyed God and did according to the saying of Elijah. And she and he and her house did eat many days. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah. There are skeptics. They would say, why did God choose her? I ask this. Why didn't God choose us? I, the Lord, search the hearts.
Yes.
Try the reins. And give every man according to his way.
That's right. Yes, sir.
He knew who would take care of the man of God. He knew who he could trust with his provision to provide for others. So Elijah comes when the brook dries up. And he commands her at the word of the Lord to take care of him. How strange, how unusual, how peculiar. She's a widow woman. She has a son. Her son has no father. There's no one to work in the fields. There's no one to labor. There's no one to work with their hands. God took care of her needs. God provided for them in a time of drought. But first, she had to obey God at the command of God and provide for someone else. Then God met her needs. And that barrel never went empty. And that cruse never dried up until the rain came upon the earth. Now, I want you to notice two things. God commanded the ravens. God commanded the widow woman. But let's go to 1 Kings chapter 19. And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and withal how he had slain all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, so let the gods do to me, and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. And when he saw that, he arose and went for his life and came to Beersheba, which belongeth to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree. And he requested for himself that he might die and said, it is enough now, O Lord. Take away my life, for I am not better than my father's. And as he lay and slept under a juniper tree, behold, then an angel touched him and said unto him, arise and eat. And he looked, and behold, there was a cake baking on the coals and a cruse of water at his head. And he did eat and drink and laid him down again. And the angel of the Lord came in again the second time and touched him and said, arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee. And he arose and did eat and drink and went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights unto Horeb, the Mount of God. When God was going to stop the rain upon the face of the earth, he commanded ravens to sustain Elijah. When the brook Cherith dried up in the drought, God commanded a widow woman to sustain Elijah. Elijah's at his lowest point. He's watched ravens feed him. He's seen a miracle of miracles of a barrel of flour that could not be emptied. He's seen a cruse of oil that could not go dry. And now he's sitting under a juniper tree wishing the Lord would take his life. And you know what God did? God heard him. What did God do? God renewed him. God sustained him. God gave him strength for the journey. At his lowest point, an angel touches him and wakes him, and he looks, and there's bread upon the fire. There's a little cake baking upon the fire and a cruse of water. Arise and eat, for the journey is great. The man of God arose and was able to eat, and he drank, and laid down again. Again, he's touched. He's awakened again, and he eats and he drinks. And for 40 days and 40 nights, God sustained him on the strength of that cake. Let me say this before I go any further. You wonder where the ravens got the bread. You can be carnal and say, well, there's a little woman baking cake up in the field, and the ravens swooped down and stole it off the windowsill, and there's a butcher downtown butchering a goat, and the ravens came by and snapped that quarter loin off the goat and brought it up to Elijah. No, God's provision was for the ravens. God provided for the ravens to feed Elijah. It wasn't man-made food. It wasn't a bakery. It wasn't a meat shop. It wasn't in the shambles. It was God himself that commanded the ravens to feed him. He was eating of the provision of God.
That's right, bro. That's good.
Then he goes down to the widow's house. You explain to me where the flour came from. I'll tell you where it came from. It came from the same place the manna came from. You tell me where the oil came from, that little wafer, that little taste of honey, and it tastes like oil a little bit, and the size of the coriander seed. Where did it come from? It came from heavenly places. Yeah. Where did that flour come from in that barrel? It was a miracle of God. It was God's provision. It was heavenly flour. It was heavenly oil. It couldn't go dry. That was God's provision for his family. People don't want to believe that.
That's right.
Because they love what they can do. They love what they can earn. They love what they can make. If I can't do it, listen, nobody can do it. And they don't have faith to believe that God can do it. God took care of his needs. God sustained him. God fed him with heavenly food. God for 40 years and 40 years. Sustained the children of the children of Israel in the wilderness with angels' food. Manna from heaven. God sustained them. Listen, a million strong marching through the wilderness. God fed them every day from heaven. Didn't have to bat an eye about it. The shoes never wore out. Their clothing never rent. Listen, they were just in finest shape as when they left. God sustained them from heaven with that wonderful angel's food that fell from heaven. And they can take it and bake cakes out of it. And there's an angel of God by the fire, the lowest point of Elijah's life. And what does God do? Taps him on the shoulder and says, look. Look, Elijah, I've given you angel's food for the journey. I've given you strength for the journey. I've given you bread for the journey. And the provision of God was laying the coals of the fire beside him. He could never say that man did it. He could never say that he did it. There's no tangible presence of anything but the angel of God. It was the provision of God. God's hand to Elijah's mouth. That's how God took care of him. That was the provision of God for his man. A dear friend of mine, dear friend. Some of you remember the Frank. It was an accident. 1985, I believe it was. He's drunk driving, flipped the car over and broke a couple vertebrae in his neck, was in a coma for months. Had to learn how to walk, had to learn how to talk, had to learn how to write his name again. And that dear brother was down at the Sugar Creek Baptist Church on a Sunday morning. Brother Frank was standing in the pulpit and held the pulpit with two hands. Hands shaking, body shaking, go, God be saved, amen. And I watched the prisons that go in, those children would make fun of him in the juvenile facility. They'd mock and they'd scoff at Frank. And they'd make fun of Frank. They'd laugh at him behind his back and scoff at him as he trembled and he shook and his papers flew around. And he'd stand in the pulpit and he'd tell him his story, how he broke his neck in a drunk driving accident. Had to walk and had to learn how to talk and had to learn how to do things all over again, but then got gloriously saved by the marvelous grace of Jesus Christ. Amen. And I've watched the scoffers melt, and I've watched them fall down in guilt and humiliation and making fun of a man. But I've also watched as the brethren have crucified him because he's on disability. Hey, he's on disability. And I've heard the comments about go get a job. And I've heard him tell them, why don't you go to work? That man can't drive. His wife's a blessing. He has three beautiful children. His wife has to drive him around. He cannot physically work. He doesn't have the ability to work. But you know what he does? He goes into prisons in Florida and Mississippi and Louisiana. He goes in juvenile prisons and he preaches the gospel to them for a week at a time. He has to ride along with somebody else. Has to get in the car with somebody else. And I hear the brethren scoffing and snickering behind his back. But he's told me on the phone the provision of God, how God's provided for them and God's taking care of their needs and how God has given them everything that they needed. His wife has never had to go to work. She was able to raise those three girls and school those three girls and train those three girls. And if there's three girls I know that know how to cook, clean, and sew, there's three girls that know how to do it. And if yours don't, keep your mouth shut.
Amen. That's right, brother.
Amen. Amen. One man told me, that man ain't worked a day in his life. I said, he can't. But you and I learned, God sustains his people.
That's right, brother. Yes, thank you.
I've gone to homes and visited people in wheelchairs that couldn't get out of wheelchairs. And they've testified to me the goodness of God, how God sustained their needs. I've seen with tears flowing down their face how God has sustained them. You know why? Because they're a child of God. God has met their needs. God has provided for them. Angels' food from heaven has fallen upon their table. Don't believe it if you don't want to. But God fed him. You know why people don't believe that? Because they don't believe this is the bread of life.
That's right. Sure don't, brother.
That is my daily bread. I heard a brother preach in West Virginia many years ago. It's helpful to me. He said, we have so much today. We have so much food and so many provisions that we no longer have to pray for our daily bread. And he said, but me and my wife get up every morning. You know what we do? We say, Lord, thank you for this daily bread. Thank you for your provision of this day. And this is what he said. He said, I'll open my Bible and lay my Bible down before the Lord. And he said, I'll lay my hand on that scripture and I'll say, Lord, give us this day your daily bread.
Amen.
Give us this day your daily bread. He said, God has never failed to sustain. Can I say God has never failed to sustain me with the daily bread from the Word of God? God has never failed to sustain me with this bread. The warm bread, fresh bread. You see, most people don't even have that.
No.
And the reason they don't is they got too much of the other.
That's right.
When was the last time you had to pray food in? When's the last time you had to pray for a tank of gas? When's the last time you had to pray that God would clothe your children? I'll be honest, we ought to just be shouting.
Amen.
We ought to just be rejoicing. When's the last time we had to pray that God would provide those little few morsels of bread to fall on the table to feed a hungry family? I'm looking around. It hasn't been recently, has it? But because this is fed, we don't eat this. The needful thing is neglected. Our bellies are full and our hearts are so empty. You know how much bread God gave Elijah? Enough to sustain him. When he woke in the morning, that widow woman would make him a cake. She'd mix that flour and that oil, make him a cake. She'd give him a little bit of water, and it would sustain him. But you know what sustained Elijah? That bread. The word of the Lord came to Elijah. At the word of the Lord, God spake to him, the Bible says. God spake to Elijah. The word of the Lord came to Elijah. That's what sustained him. Because our bellies are full. We don't need God. Somebody asked me just yesterday if I'd consider next time we go overseas taking young people. They can understand what it's like to go hungry. And I didn't say this, but I'm saying this now. Just wait a few years in America.
Come on.
Oh, yeah.
We may just be there again. My grandfather's generation saw hunger. I know men in their 70s today that talk about eating green apples out of the trees. They were so hungry as boys, knowing full well what it's going to do to them. They were so hungry. That wasn't that long ago. You better teach your children how to pray. You better teach your children how to seek after God. You better teach your children to pray for their daily bread, because there may be a day it's not there. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. What is that cake upon the fire? That's God's reminder to his man. I'll take care of your needs. I fed you when there was a drought. I fed you when the brook dried up. And I'll feed you when Jezebel's seeking your life. You've got a long journey to make, a great journey. But I'll sustain you. Abraham meets with Melchizedek and offers him bread, wine. And go to Genesis 28 if you would. Just look at a couple things quickly there. Genesis chapter 28. Jacob's vow started in verse 20. And Jacob vowed a vow saying, if God will be with me and will keep me in this way with that I go and will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then shall the Lord be my God. And this stone which I have set for a pillar shall be God's house. And of all that thou shalt give me, listen, some of you get upset. I will surely give thee a tenth. The pastor asked, I know that's Old Testament doctrine. We've done away with that. Amen. Well, Brother McVeigh, I just still see that in the Old Testament. Has God given you bread? Has God given you the blessings of life? Has God sustained your family? Has God fed you? Has God clothed you? Has God given you daily bread?
That's right. Yes, sir.
Surely, I'll give you a tenth.
That's right.
And every liberal, every NIV sucking,
that's right.
Ooh. Every deceitful, lying preacher out there that tells people that's just Old Testament doctrine. I believe probably not seeing God. How can you see the provision of God and not know it's at God's hand?
That's right,
unless you're living for self.
That's right.
How can you see God's provision and say, I've done this? I'm the one that built this. I'm the one by the power of my hand. I've made it. I'm a self-made person. I'm a strong person. I'm a hard-working person. Call Frank Patton. God bless you, Brother Frank, if you're watching. not mocking. His handshake like this. Walks like this. God's provision.
Amen.
If you had bread on your table this morning, it was God that put it there.
That's right, brother.
If you have money in your bank account, you better believe it's God that gave you power to get it. If you have shoes on your feet, you ought to just rejoice.
Yes, thank you.
If some of you don't have shoes on your feet, it's your fault. Some of you get what I'm saying. Amen. Oh, I did all this. Look what I built. Look what I have. If God gave you a clear mind to think, you ought to just rejoice and thank Him. If God gave you hands to work, you ought to just give Him a tithe. If God gave you feet to walk, you ought to just give Him a tenth. If God gave you a stomach to eat and get fat, you ought to just praise Him and thank Him. It's His provision.
Amen.
And Jacob, the deceiver, Jacob, the liar, Jacob, the stealer, said, Lord, I'll give you a tenth of everything I got. If you'll just give me bread, give my family clothes, I'll give it to you. Invariably, religious people come to me. One of the biggest arguments they have, because they love their money. And they don't understand. It's not your money. It's God that gave you power to get it. If you opened a fish's mouth and found your taxes in there, that'd be a bit peculiar. Well, I think that's just happenstance. I think it just, that fish ate somebody's coin, you know, and they went and got that fish, got the coin out of its mouth, went and paid tax. You know, that was just happenstance. You think what you have is happenstance? You see, it's the goodness of God that leads thee to repentance.
Yes, thank you.
Raise your hand, anybody God's been bad to? Anybody God's been awful to? No, it's the goodness of God that leads thee to repentance. You can see the hand of God in your life if you'll let Him reveal it. Oh, dear Brother Herbert pulled out of COVID. Boy, preacher of faith. That man taught me more about faith than anybody I've ever known. He just believed God. I don't know, that man just believed God. They called me and said, Brother Herbert's in the hospital. Probably heading to ICU. He's got COVID. He's diabetic and heart problems and 77, I believe, now 76 years old. You know, they said, hey, it's not looking good. I got a text 2 days later. Said, Brother Herbert's home.
Amen.
I called him and said, preacher, how are you? He said, oh, I'm weak right now. He had to know Brother Herbert. He said, I'm feeling weak. God's taking care of us, brother. God's meeting the need, brother. Hallelujah, brother. Glory to God, brother. I said, amen, preacher. Leanne's in the back seat of the car going, daddy, daddy. I said, hey, glory to God, preacher. God's met the need. When you see bread in the Bible, better sit up and take notice. It's God's provision. It's God sustaining. It's God meeting that need. 2 Samuel chapter 9. David said, is there yet any that is left of the house of Saul, that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake? And there was of the house of Saul a servant, his name was Ziba. And when they had called him unto David, the king said unto him, art thou Ziba? And he said, thy servant is he. And the king said, is there not any yet any of the house of Saul that I may show the kindness of God unto him? And Ziba said unto the king, Jonathan hath yet a son who is lame on his feet, which is lame on his feet. And the king said unto him, where is he? And Ziba said unto the king, behold, he is in the house of Machir, the son of Amiel in Lodabar. Then King David sent and fetched him out of the house of Machir, the son of Amiel from Lodabar. Now when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, was come unto David, he fell on his face and did reverence. And David said, Mephibosheth, and he answered, behold, thy servant. And David said unto him, let me just say this. He's lame on his feet. Can't walk right. Why don't you go get a job pounding rocks? He's lame on his feet. He was injured as a child. Why don't you go work? He's lame on his feet. How about that bum Lazarus? How about that bum laying at the pool of Siloam? How about that bum, the blind man? Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. God's provision. God takes care of his own. He's lame on his feet. He's down in Lodabar. Some people say simply means a place of no bread. Read one Jewish translation, said a place where there's nothing. He's crippled. He's a son of Jonathan, who's the son of Saul, David's enemy. David had a love for Jonathan. But I want you to notice he's looking for someone from the house of Saul to show kindness to. His enemy. We read that verse earlier. He's being good to his enemy. And they said, down in Lodabar, there's a man, his name's Mephibosheth. The man Ziba knows him. David calls for him, he tells him of this cripple. In verse 7, he said, fear not, for I will surely show thee kindness for Jonathan thy father's sake, and will restore thee all the land of Saul thy father. And thou shalt eat bread at my table continually. And he bowed himself and said, what is thy servant that thou shouldest look upon such a dead dog as I am? Then the king called to Ziba, Saul's servant, and said unto him, I have given unto thy master's son all that pertained to Saul and to all his home, his house. Thou therefore and thy sons and thy servants shall till the land for him. Oh, that just tears some people to pieces, doesn't it? He's a cripple. He's lame. He's a bum. And somebody else is going to till the land for him. Somebody else is going to labor to help him. Somebody else is going to work to meet his needs. That's the widow woman. She's going to meet the man of God's needs. Mephibosheth is at David's table. He has need of nothing. He's in the king's house. He's seated at the king's table. He needs no more provision. But David said, no, that's not enough. Somebody else is going to go till that land. Somebody else is going to go meet that needs. In verse 10, shall till the land for him, and thou shalt bring in the fruits that thy master's son may have food to eat. But Mephibosheth, thy master's son, shall eat bread always at my table. Somebody else is going to till the land. Somebody else is going to bring in the food that they can eat. But you know what Mephibosheth is going to do? He's going to sit at my table. I'm going to say, stay in him. You know what I do as a father? I set a table for my family. Some of you have been to McVeigh House. Some of you have never had the wonderful privilege to eat at our table. You say amen. We got junk everywhere. Paint peeling off the walls. Don't have a matching chair in the place. But the food's real good. And I pull up to the table. That little girl looks at me. And you know what she says? Daddy, I want steak. And I say, me too, baby. What daddy's eating, guess what? She's eating. Daddy, can I have bakey? I say, oh, yes. Hallelujah. Daddy, I'm ready to eat bacon. Daddy has to cook it, sweetheart. Just hold on. You know why? Because she's my daughter. Nathaniel's a little easier. He just says, nah. She shoves a thing of applesauce in his mouth. He's good to go. You know why I provide for them? Because they're my own. And if I didn't provide for them, I'd be worse than an infidel. You know what David said? Mephibosheth, you're going to eat at my table. Absalom's dead. Amnon's dead. Abishai's dead. There's a few missing places at the table. Mephibosheth, you'll always eat here. There's always bread. He's in West Virginia many, many years ago. I don't know his last name. Yes, I do. It just came to my mind. It's a young man named Jonathan Hughes. He's in a wheelchair. Held a microphone in the crook of his arm. Held his Bible in his hand. Had a little stand, would preach and run that electric wheelchair around that tabernacle. And he's preaching one day. He said, you know, he said, some of you don't understand. And this is what he said. He said, I can't work like you. He said, I can't sing like you. I can't get enough wind. I can't sing like you. He said, I can't walk like you. He said, my legs don't work. But he said, I was reading Mephibosheth one day, and I saw where he pulled himself up to the king's table. And he said, when his feet went under the table, nobody knew he was a cripple anymore. He was just like everybody else. And this is what he said. He said, when I pull up at the king's table, he said, I'm not going to be a cripple anymore. I don't want to tell you what happened because y'all get nervous. I said, see, y'all get real nervous. There's only about 15 people in there listening to the preacher boys. I want to go hear what they had to say. Our brother Harold Seidler, they said down at Sammy Allen's camp, he said, I go to the afternoon services. I want to hear what these young men got to say because they helped me. It's only about 15 people. Well, they were sitting down. When he said, I'm not going to be a cripple anymore, it was like a bomb. I mean, it was like a bomb went off. We shouted. We leaped. We rejoiced. People were weeping, shouting. I had a man, tears running down his face, just rejoicing, weeping over the goodness of God. Couldn't work, couldn't walk, couldn't hardly use his hands. But he had bread at the king's table.
Yes, sir.
He had something to sustain him. He had something to give him strength. He had something to bring him through when everything else failed. You know, at the king's table, it's all family.
Yes, thank
you. You know what they brought out for him? You can bear with me. Just let me just have it. You know, the prodigal's father had. He knew his father had bread. You know why he started heading home? Because he knew his father had bread. You know what his father did? His father killed the fatted calf. You tell me Mephibosheth showed up, they didn't kill the fatted calf. David said, this is Jonathan's son. I'm showing him kindness. This is Jonathan's son. I love Jonathan. You give this man anything he wants. You go till his field. You get the fruit of the field. Feed his sons. Verse 9, the king called to Ziba, Saul's servant, said unto him, I have given unto thy master's son all that pertained to Saul and to all his house. Thou therefore and thy sons and thy servants shall till the land for him. And thou shalt bring in the fruits that thy master's son may have food to eat. But Mephibosheth, thy master's son, shall eat bread alway at my table. Alway at my table. Now Ziba had 15 sons and 20 servants. Then said Ziba unto the king, according to all that my lord the king hath commanded his servant, so shall thy servant do. As for Mephibosheth, said the king, he shall eat at my table as one of the king's sons. Three times David said, he's eating at my table. Yeah. Mephibosheth had his young son, whose name was Micah. And all that dwell in the house of Ziba were servants unto Mephibosheth. So Mephibosheth dwelt in Jerusalem, for he did eat continually at the king's table. He was lame in both his feet. You ever wonder what that word continually means? I'll just use one example. Timothy never stops eating. He eats ketchup bread. Continue. You know why? Because you're his son. You're her son. I kind of like you like a son. That's why I give you catch. He never hungered again. God sustained.
Yes, sure did. Thank you.
God's provision. I am the bread of life. I am the bread of life. There's substance. There's sustaining. Well, let's just go ahead and turn there real quick since we're there. John chapter 6. I'll be done. I didn't even yell tonight. I was trying not to yell. It didn't matter. Amen. I was going to go ahead and yell next time. John chapter 6. Verse 31. Our fathers did eat manna in the desert, as it is written. He gave them bread from heaven to eat. You know what Mephibosheth was eating? Bread from heaven. You know what? God commanded David to feed him. God commanded David to feed him. You say, well, that's just an allegory. Do you have anything in your cupboard that didn't come from heaven? You might in your liquor cabinet. But you don't have a cup. You Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven, and giveth life unto the world. Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. And he said, Come to the table. The table's set. I am the bread of life. Give us this bread. They're looking at the bread. They're seeing the bread. He is the bread. He's what they needed more than physical bread.
Yes, sir. Right. Exactly right.
Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. You hungry? Come to him, he'll never hunger.
That's right.
Cometh. You notice that? Cometh. I came 23 years ago. I've never stopped.
That's right.
Amen.
Yes, thank you, Lord.
He'll never hunger again. There's times I'm like Elijah. There's times I get into that juniper bush. There's times I get real low. And can I say there's never been a time that I haven't found bread upon the fire.
Right.
I have found a cake baking upon the coals. God sustained us for the journey. Can I say this? I've said it privately. I'll say it publicly. What God did for us this year at the Youth Week, in the waning moments of Youth Week, fed me and sustained me for a long time. But I'm hungry. I need something. I want something in my soul. I need something to give me strength for the journey. I need something to give me strength for that which is ahead. And I have it in my hands right here. And if I'll just search the pages, I'm going to find the riches of Christ and hunger and thirst after righteousness. He said, I could be filled. I'm worried about this, not this. But I said unto you that you also have seen me and believe not. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me, he said, I will in no wise cast out. I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. What does that mean? Anybody that's ever come to him, he's never cast them out. But you got to come to him hungry. You got to come to him as the bread of life. You have to come to him. Jesus Christ, and none other. And you'll never hunger again. Because I eat different than most people, I wake up sometimes early in the morning that gnawing hunger. Just tears at me. I remember when that first started happening about 4 or 5 years ago, for the first time in probably 30 years, I'm going, man, I feel like a teenager again. I just wake up in the night so hungry, just that gnawing agony in the pit of my stomach, and I'd go eat ketchup bread, butter bread, bread, just shove it in. Go back to bed, it would sustain me, give me strength. But now I'm old, so I eat meat. Meat will get me a long way in the journey, but meat kills the rest of the illustration. But the meat of the Word of God is what's going to sustain you.
Yeah.
But what you got to do before you get meat, you got to get full of bread. You get your stomach full of bread, he'll give you meat.
Yes, sir.
He has meat to eat you know not of. You hungry? You're hungering after righteousness. You can be filled. We sing a song. I'm going to stop this because it's way too close. I'm not mic shy, but I'm very phone shy. Luke, you can take this. We're done recording the message here. If you have a phone, want you to pull up. Psalm. Let me give you a Father to find Psalm. Sing this together. Come